ask the questions and I will find the answer.
The biggest problem we have with people walking into the building saying, I want to start a podcast, is they don't know which of those two. People go, obviously, three cameras, it must look like Joe Rogan. Some people, it's obviously it's audio. Some people, it's obvious I want to be big and famous and sell advertising. None of that is obvious. Spider-Man, what? With great power comes great responsibility. There are 50 people working on Diary of a CEO podcast.
50?
50. His team?
50.
50. People come along and say, I want to make a podcast like Diary of a CEO. But now we're making television. More crew, more equipment, more work. Find an advertiser so I can live off the ad revenue. Okay. Different model. Now you're building a media business. What kind of media business?
Like I'm going to become the Oprah of Africa.
It's like going to the library and taking a book out on a topic.
Oh, I love
not
that.
Every book.
Yeah,
out,
yeah.
To make up people purpose.
I will show up. I will show up. Just have fun with it. And I think that was, I always heard your voice in my ears all the time throughout this journey because
there was a time when your business didn't exist if you weren't in the yellow pages.
Voice optimization for organizations is becoming so vital and so important. You know, how you do your SEO strategies, because the algorithms are now really doing the walled gardens and gatekeeping.
You're not a real business if I can't listen to your CEO talking about what your business is doing and where you're going. You're going to be giving a talk about menopause, which I know you did a short series on. If I booked a stadium or an auditorium with 300 seats in it, how hard would it be for you to fill that auditorium with 300 people next Wednesday night for 90 minutes?
And you caught me by surprise because you said, why don't you film today? And I was like, I don't have the right makeup on. I don't have the right hairdo. I feel so fat. I can't do it.
Wild. There are bodies on top of the pool table. There are bottles of sugar.
If you want to join the Conscious Leaders Movement, go to the following link. Linktree/Carmen Murray. There you will find all the resources, activities, as well as the link to our podcast, the link to our YouTube channel, and then also all of the current activities that we are hosting, as well as access to our digital magazine. Thank you. Hey, conscious leaders, you ask the questions and I will find the answer. So many of you have been coming to me and asking me about, how do I start a podcast? What is involved in it? What do I need to know about it? So who better to ask than Solid Gold Podcast Studios, who I've been working with for so many years. And
So many years.
Oh my gosh, this has been a journey, hey? Yeah,
it's been a while.
And so I decided I'm going to bring Gavin Kennedy in. He is walking around. There's so much activity happening down here.
I haven't been nearby today.
So we're going to have a chat and we're going to see, right, what is happening in the landscape of podcasting and then just take it from there. So, Gav, cool. You see, how many years now?
Must be 6-7 years.
6-7 years.
Something like that, yeah.
I shared in our newsletter the image where...
On the Wall of Fame,
yeah, right?
I think there are like 4 pictures there or 6 pictures on the wall.
Exactly. Yeah. I was so chuffed because you created these. It was something new that you thought would be very cool. You still didn't have all the artwork downstairs. I didn't know there was a place upstairs. I didn't know.
There wasn't at the time.
Oh, there wasn't. Yeah. But it was like at the bottom. And I remember you had construction plans up and you were still building. And there was one studio, the big main studio at the bottom that was ready. And you had this massive vision of building podcast studios. And at that time, it was just when Cliff Central started. And there was a lot of movement happening around in that arena. But your vision was very different and you weren't, you were so like out of the box, and I loved what you were thinking and where you were going. And you said, I'm going to create this for my children and for my family. It's going to be a family business and this is how we're going to do things. I'm taking all my expertise of so many years and I want to bring it and make it accessible.
Yeah.
And here we are. And I actually can't keep up with all the podcasts and how many cars are always outside. Like, this is now the latest. So tell me, how's the journey been?
It's been awesome. It's been fun. I had a picture in my head. It's evolving in some ways to be the same. Some stuff's being added.
Mm.
We're doing a lot more video than I thought we would be doing. I don't really want to be in the video business, but you take the business where you meet the customer where they are.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we'd be these purists and making 3 podcasts a week instead of. Well, actually, I just did some stats now. We've published nearly 800 podcasts this year already.
Oh my word!
Yeah,
that's a lot.
Yeah, yeah, it's more than 2 a day on average, every day. It's looks like this podcasting is going to be a thing.
Yeah.
When we started out, I mean, I remember even when you had a podcast, you told people, "Hey, listen to my podcast," and they'd say, "What's a podcast?"
Yeah. Yeah.
That's no longer the case. I think there must be 4 odd million podcasts in the world now. Maybe there were 1 million at the time, maybe a bit less at the time you started yours. Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. We've started with 2 studios. We've expanded to 11 now. We do work. We have clients in other countries. We do a lot of pop-up stuff where we go to clients' offices and set up cameras and microphones and make podcasts. We're having a lot of fun. We're experimenting. We're making exciting content, various content.
Have you ever seen you on TV or Tomax?
Oh, yeah, yeah, right.
I know that studio.
That's crazy. If anybody wants, I think it was called 2 weeks, 1 weeks, 1 weeks, 2 weeks, something like that. It's on Showmax. Episode 6 or 7. It's wild. The party that they had using our studios as a set. Wild. There are bodies on top of the pool table. There are bottles of champagne. I'm not saying it's not like that normally.
Oh, that is hilarious. Okay, so... as you know, we shifted. I mean, this journey with the podcast, I think I've went in so many directions. Adapt, adapt, adapt. I'm evolving, adapt. I'm evolving, adapt. This is not feeling right anymore. And I think it took me such a long time because I really wanted to align it with who I am as a person and my purpose, as well as where I am and the work that I do. But I just never could find myself. And then I started specifically focusing on conscious leaders and, you know, where my heart was putting me. And, you know, we've done so well. I think last year this time was the first film version.
Wow.
January. Okay. It was January last year in this dress.
Yeah.
Was the first one. And you caught me by surprise because you said, "Why don't you film today?" And I was like, "I don't have the right makeup on. I don't have the right hairdo. I feel so fat. I can't do it." And, you know, It was almost like I came to life. Like I was like, oh, this is something I need to work on. It wasn't comfortable in the beginning. Took a minute to get it right. But this is the journey of podcasting, I think.
I tell you what the biggest challenge people have is we use the word podcast as if everybody knows what it means.
Mm.
So when people go, "Oh, I want to make a podcast," you go, "Well, what do you mean by podcast?" Some people go, "Obviously, 3 cameras, it must look like Joe Rogan." Some people, it's obviously audio. Some people, it's obvious I want to be big and famous and sell advertising. None of that is obvious. The definition of a podcast used to be an RSS feed to an audio file on the internet that you download and listen to. A very technical definition. The definition of a podcast now doesn't relate to technical stuff. The definition more accurately is signal. A podcast when I use the word podcast, it means I made this. This is independent. You can trust it. As opposed to this is content from a mainstream media source. So it's very much signaling independence. Now we get 2 kinds of podcasts. Podcast where the audience is the product. Podcast where the audience is the customer. What? Okay. Calm down. The first one is you're building an audience so that you can sell that audience's attention to an advertiser. Advertisers go, "Do you have 25 to 35-year-old working women with children who drive expensive cars?" "Yes, I do. How many do you have?" "50,000? Right, we'd like to buy an ad, and you deliver the ad to that audience for me." So you make a podcast that appeals to that demographic, that age group, that spending power, and keep them loyal, make content that they like, they keep coming back for, build it up to a sizable audience, and then go to advertisers and say, "I can help you reach your customers." Now, most people, when they think of a podcast, think about that kind of podcast. If you listen to your favorite podcast and you hear an advert, it's that kind of podcast. No matter what they're talking about, they are making that podcast to sell you. You are the product if you're listening to an advert on a podcast. You may go, "This is the greatest episode. I love it. I love these people. I love what they're doing." But they're doing it so they can sell you. Your podcast is not that. Mm-mm. What you're doing is you're saying, I'm trying to build a relationship with people who either don't know me yet or maintain and grow a relationship with people I already know and do business with so that they know me, like me, trust me, and start doing business or keep doing business with me. So yours is more of a content creation and relationship building strategy. So now if we say, how do we know if a podcast is working? On the first one, well, if you're doing 10,000 listens to every episode and you put another episode next week and it's 10,000 and 10,000, it grows slightly, then you've got a predictable business that you can sell advertising on. The metric of success of that is, am I reaching X thousand people every time I push out an episode? Yes, sell it. Yours is not that. Yours, you can look at your stats, and we'll talk about why you look at stats now. But yours, you look at, and when you visit a potential new client, they go, yeah, the reason I've asked you to come in is I listened to your podcast on XYZ, and I like your thinking on that, and we'd like to commission you to do some work for us on that. So your metric of success is, when you meet new people, do they speak the language you speak? Do they know you and like you? They've seen you. They've seen you laugh. They've seen you talk to other people. They understand you better before they've even met you. Or as you grow your business, you can't spend time with every client every month as your business gets bigger. But by making content and putting it out via your LinkedIn or email, people you haven't seen for 2 or 3 months still feel like they've seen you this month.
Yeah, I've never thought about it that way.
They still feel connected to you. They've still got some value from you. You still exist. You're still the same person. You're still laughing and having fun. You're still serious. So those are the metrics of success of the kind of podcast you're doing. And they're very, very different. The biggest problem we have with people walking into the building saying, I want to start a podcast, is they don't know which of those two they want to do.
And it's so true what you say. And one thing that I've also, I mean, I'm just talking from my perspective and what I've learned, is the way that I'm also doing the podcast is also about having real conversations around issues that women are having and from a woman in leadership perspective, right? How that has changed my perspective so much, where women go, it's my first time to be interviewed on a podcast. And then afterwards come, you've no idea, I've been on your podcast. Now I've got an invite to be on this podcast and I got an invite to speak at this webinar, etc. And what that made me realize is the impact that it also has on the people that you interview. Yeah. And that kind of like changed my mindset completely.
Absolutely. I mean, with Spider-Man, what? With great power comes great responsibility.
It is.
And it's not ephemeral. It's not like an interview on a radio station and if you missed it, it's gone. No, your podcast is there. Those podcasts you made 7, 8 years ago, they're still there. They're still working. It's long tail content. And it has evolved. And I'd be disappointed if you hadn't evolved. Yeah, you were doing one thing 7, 8 years ago, and then, I'm changing. You've evolved. I've pivoted. I'm now doing this. You've definitely found a good groove right now, and you'll do this for a while. Who knows how long this will go for, but this goes deep. It's connecting well. You're getting good feedback. You're landing new clients. The people you're speaking to are starting their own podcast. It's a very virtuous cycle and flywheel effect.
100%. I mean, one of the things that you said to me, I think, was, it's probably the right for my personality type, but you did say to me, Carmen, just have fun. Because I was trying to overcomplicate it, and you were like, you've got the knowledge, just have fun with it. And I think that was, I always heard your voice in my ears all the time throughout this journey, because were times where I was like, this is not feeling right, because I'm not having fun anymore.
We're trying to use this so that people know you, like you, trust you, okay? And then try your services, and then repeat, refer. There's a whole sequence there. What good is it if you pretend to be X and they say, Carmen, we love what you're doing, come in and meet us, and they go, who's this person? It's got to be the same person. The first kind of podcast, it's a media, so you're often trying to trick people or tease them or tantalize them into staying longer so they can hear two adverts instead of one. So we'll say, you won't believe what happened, coming up next, my guest, you won't, just stay tuned. So we do that with the first kind of podcast, to extend the amount of time people spend with you so I can sell more advertising. Yours is not that. Within the first few seconds of listening to your podcast, people must go, this is not for me, or it's for me. We're not trying to trick you into listening to an hour so that you listen to the Carmen Murray podcast. No. The Carmen Murray, I'm talking to this woman about this issue, and we're announcing it early on up front so that the listener goes, for me or not for me. That's all.
Mm.
And if it's not for me, no problem. Mm. Not everybody is perimenopausal. Not everybody has been retrenched. So if you haven't been retrenched, this episode
something
you don't care about.
Something for everyone, you know?
Yeah. So the first kind of podcast, we want everybody to listen to every episode all the way through.
Mm.
Yours, we only want the audience to listen to stuff that is part of their research.
Yeah.
Part of their journey or exploration, curiosity about what... It's like going to the library and taking a book out on a topic.
Oh, I love
not
that.
Not every book.
Yeah, out,
you know?
Yeah.
And then possibly the most useful imagery to use is the first kind of podcast is a lot more like radio. 10,000, 20,000, 30,000 people listening for a short period of time so we can put ads in.
Mm.
Yours is more like I'm going to be giving a talk about menopause, which I know you did a short series on. If I booked a stadium or an auditorium with 300 seats in it, how hard would it be for you to fill that auditorium with 300 people next Wednesday night for 90 minutes?
Mm.
Really hard
mm.
and expensive.
Mm.
But if you have a podcast episode with a guest and you talk about that topic or two or three of them, and over a 6-month period or a 1-year period, 1,000 people listen to it,
mm.
you've effectively filled that auditorium 3 and a bit times for a fraction of the work and cost.
Yeah.
And that's a much better method of establishing whether your kind of podcast is working versus mm. the other one.
And also, you know, something interesting I have also seen over the years, like you'll interview somebody random, or not random.
And then suddenly they become somebody.
And then a few years later,
hey, I knew them.
Boom, 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 and the pop charts. Yeah. And it's like, oh, no way, that's amazing.
That's what people say about Carmen.
Oh, my gosh, I wish. But I mean, like, this has been fascinating. Part of the journey is to see how you've perhaps interviewed and they go through a big pivot in their careers, or they launch a book, or they do something amazing. And, yeah.
Yeah, that makes absolute sense, because you're putting more content out onto the internet,
mm.
which means when you're applying for a job, it would be irresponsible for any employer not to go into LinkedIn or Google to search a person they're about to employ.
Yeah.
So I've got this new candidate, got the CV, I search for their name, I see what's on the internet, and what I find on the internet is, okay, they wrote a book, yes, they've given a TED talk, oh, they've got their own podcast series and they've been a guest on, okay, there's a richness of content. What are the podcasts about? Oh, they're about the thing I'm hiring the person for. Phew, thank goodness. They've got lots of expertise, lots of experience, connection. It validates the person's claim to what they're doing or who they say they are.
Mm.
And not just a CV that you've padded yourself and it's a one. No, no. There's real stuff that we've been building up over months and years that you can listen to see if it's true, if it's not. That's a real important, really important depth of content around people and businesses.
Yeah. And I think also, like, as the world is geeking out about technology and everything is technology, there's never been a more critical time. Cindy Gallup says that there's never been a more critical time for human connection.
Right.
And I feel that also having this ability to have conversations, I think that you've got one of the studios, I've used it once.
The round table one.
The round table where you can have 5 or 6 people around the table and have a conversation. That was with UJ.
Yes, that's right.
Remember, it was with UJ, with all the marketing professors, and so we were talking about marketing. And one thing that I've also learned from you throughout the studios is also, like, finding your groove, what makes you feel comfortable so that you're comfortable with your guest, and how you've designed every studio down here has a different chair, or it has a different way how you feel, so that you can actually bring out those amazing conversations.
Yeah. So form follows function. You know, if you're going to have a serious heart-to-heart about somebody who's being retrenched, you're not going to go sit in the beanbags and have that conversation.
Yeah, of course.
It would just be inappropriate.
Mm.
Sometimes people are a little self-conscious and they don't want to have this kind of conversation. This is a free-flowing conversation, but if it were more structured and you were asking me what are the top 5 tips, then we might use Studio 10, which looks more like a boardroom. Because that feels more like a boardroom.
Mm.
We're working and going through a list conversation.
Yeah.
And sometimes you want it to be a high counter. And some, you know, so the location changes how we engage our lizard brain.
Mm.
You know, if we're standing, we're more alert. If we're sitting, we're more relaxed and trusting. If we're on the floor, and we're very trusting and we'll be more open. So it really comes down to what's the topic, what's appropriate, where we're trying to go. We're trying to look informal. We're trying to be serious, formal, and choose the location. That's partly why we're doing so much on location now, for two reasons mostly. One is the environment feels like the client's environment because it is the client's environment. We're not trying to replicate it in a studio. Mm. We're actually in their reception area or in their boardroom. And the second reason we go on location is the cost of the people's time is often a lot higher than the cost of making the podcast.
Yeah.
You know, if you've got three CEOs, four CEOs sitting around a table, what's the cost per hour of each person plus travel, each direction, and wasted? No, no.
Yeah.
It's cheaper for us to go there and record them there, minimal interruption to their workday.
Okay, so as I mentioned to you, we've had a lot of questions around starting podcasts.
Fire the questions.
First one is, that comes up a lot, is like, I want to start a podcast. Like, how does it work? Do I do it on my own? Do I have to go through the studio? What is your advice?
Those are secondary questions. The first question is, why are you thinking of making a podcast?
Okay.
If you don't know why you're making a podcast, it doesn't matter where you start, how you start, you're going to make three or four and go, this podcasting thing doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
It's better to go slowly in the direction you're headed than fast nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you can start a podcast today. Pick up your phone, log into Spotify Creators, hit record, publish. Your podcast is done an hour later. But what's it about? How do you know if it's working? Is it progressing? Is it taking you towards your goal? Either your goal is to build an audience and sell it, or build relationships with your clients.
Mm.
So if you don't know why you're making the podcast, just don't start. The exception to that rule is, if you are using a podcast to explore what you want to do with your life, then the wandering journey is part of, then it's fun. So how do you start a podcast? Understand why you want to make a podcast. Crystal clear, why am I making a podcast? If you don't have that, just forget about it.
Yeah.
Again, the exception to that would be unless you're doing it for fun. So if the metric of success is I want to make a podcast because it looks like fun, then make a podcast and have fun. And in 6 months, and I say, hey, Carmen, how's it going? You're having fun? Yes. Mm. Carry on.
Mm.
Okay. You might go, I want to have fun and meet cool new people. Okay. How's the podcast going? You having fun? Yes. Meeting people? Yes. Carry on. Okay. If it's not that, it's, oh, I'm trying to find an advertiser so I can live off the ad revenue. Okay. Different model. Now you're building a media business. What kind of media business? What's your specialty and what content can you make?
Mm.
What do you have that others don't have? And there's a whole model we go through for that.
Okay, so I think you've got this personality test. That test came after I started. You know, is that maybe a good starting point? How, if somebody has to come to you and say, okay, right, I want to start a podcast, what would you recommend they do first before you even have the conversation?
Okay. There's kind of two, we've got two templates, and you can go to our app and try both of them. One is a podcast personality test. It's a little bit like a Myers-Briggs, extrovert, introvert, that kind of, and it puts you into different quadrant. And the quadrant helps you understand whether this is a hobby or a business, whether it's content I'm making that's ephemeral and you have to make it every day or week, or content that lasts for months or years, like yours, evergreen. And you do the test and it comes back and asks a couple of questions and you'll understand a bit more about what kind of podcast you're thinking of based on the answers to the question. It's worth doing a couple of times because sometimes your thinking changes and evolves.
Mm.
The other one is the podcast purpose distillation. Welcome to my podcast where I speak to X about Y so that Z happens. They're both on our app, solidgoldcoza.com/app. You go there and do the podcast personality test or the template. Absolutely worth starting there. If you don't have that clarity of what you're doing, why you're doing what you're doing, don't start there. Another question I'm sure you've got is, what equipment do I need?
I was just about to ask you that, yes.
The equipment's really not, the podcast is not made by the equipment. The podcast is made by making content that helps fulfill your purpose.
Mm.
It's not too expensive. You might spend tens of thousands, a couple of hundred thousand building a studio at home. The cost of the equipment is not the big cost. If you're going to do this at home, you're probably going to dedicate a bedroom to making a little studio. It's not the cost of the equipment in that studio. It's you now, instead of needing a two-bedroom house, need a three-bedroom house, or a three-bedroom, you need a four, so that you can 1 or 2 hours a month sit in that space and record. That's just, if you've got the money, have fun. The challenge with that is, even after you've got this room dedicated and you've got all the equipment in it, when the next-door neighbor decides to take their leaf blower out or the hardy dogs sit on your roof,
it doesn't
COVID. Work as a studio. So it's not so much about the equipment and having your own studio. And then it gets a little bit weird once your podcast takes off. You've made 10 episodes and you've landed a nice guest and you ask them to come around your house and sit in this corner of your bedroom to make a podcast. A little bit weird.
Yeah.
So there's a point at which...
Very strange.
Yeah, there's a point at which you go, no, we have to go somewhere
else.
But I
don't actually have had questions where people would ask me, is it in your house? Is it like, you know, asking me before they actually come to the interview, where exactly is that? It's actually a screening question. Like, seriously, when you're looking
before
for
Before I come on your podcast, should
yeah,
I
just want to know, do I have to go to your... Is it at your house? Like, it's like a subtle question with lots of meaning behind it.
what other questions are people asking you?
The equipment one is big. There's a lot of questions around the mics. And I think one of the ladies, they tried Riverside, and realized that the mics that they're using is actually, or they're not, they can't get the sound to be correct. That's the thing. And I think, like, it's, you know, should I try and do it myself until I'm better before I go to a studio? However, I actually want to answer that question. I had a client that we did podcast for.
Right.
And they said that they regretted that they tried to do the podcast on their own. Remember, we started to do the podcast, but they wanted to film it themselves and and they regretted it because they first wanted to get the hang of everything, learn how it all works before they actually take it onto their own.
There's no absolute right or wrong. We get a lot of people come...
I love that you're so casual about it.
Yeah, people come, we have meetings, we strategize, we get it, and they go, cool. And they go off and... buy a microphone and a camera and they make their own podcast at home. And sometimes that scratches the itch. That's all they wanted to do and it's enough.
Yeah.
Most of our clients are corporates. Nearly everything we do revolves around helping corporates produce content that helps grow their business, communicate with their clients, either acquisition or retention of clients. That's not the same as somebody who wants to make a soccer podcast. For those people... Yeah, money is an issue and cost is an issue. There's also an authenticity for them about looking like they're sitting at home making this podcast so that the audience knows that they're, you know, that's part of that signal. I'm an independent and I'm making this. There's no right or wrong. It's frustrating when corporates come for advice and then try and do it themselves and then say, well, podcasting doesn't work.
Yeah,
that's a bit frustrating. But everyone will come back to podcast over the next few years. There was a time when your business didn't exist if you weren't in the yellow pages. And then in the 90s, the internet started and it looked like it was only for big companies. If you're using a Gmail address in the 21st century, you're not a real business. If you don't have a website, even if it's just got services and a map, you're not a real business. So that's a given.
Yeah.
Podcasting is definitely going in that direction where you're not a real business if I can't listen to your CEO talking about what your business is doing and where you're going.
Yeah.
We're definitely going there. Not to say you have to make 3 episodes a week, and it's not that, but you certainly have to be making long-form content. This recent American election has highlighted the importance of long-form conversations. You go back to 1960, 61, the very first televised presidential debate, Kennedy and Nixon. Nixon had been ill. He came out of hospital. He looked a little green and gray and sweaty and shifty. And JFK came out from his New England, smooth, good-looking smile, lovely vocabulary. And Americans got to see and hear this person instead of just, you know, newspaper and radio. And some attribute his political success to that television debate and the end of Nixon, or not quite the end, but you know, Nixon should have won that election.
Fascinating story.
So that happened. Now everything's televised. This last election was Trump going on Joe Rogan and Kamala not doing a big serious podcast. And if she had gone on Joe Rogan, would she have come off like Nixon did, or would she have? We don't know because she didn't do it. But certainly we've seen Lex Fridman, Joe Rogan. saying, here's a 3-hour conversation with this person. You really get to know a person in 3 hours, not a soundbite, not little one snippet, here's what they said. No, no. Context, 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 context.
Yeah. And didn't you say, like, the press office, wouldn't that be interesting to, or is it already happening where podcasters are actually being invited into the press office?
Well, who knows? Who knows what Trump's going to do?
You know,
is what he says and what he does. But there are podcasters with far higher audiences than the media sitting in the White House press room. You know, some of those TV channels get 3, 4, 5 million views on their TV show, and there's podcasters with 10, 20, 30 million. Hang on.
Yeah.
Why is somebody sitting there with an audience of 50,000, 100,000 when there's somebody with 10, 20, 30, 50, 100 times the audience not there? So, yeah, that has to change.
Yeah, totally. Because, you know, I also feel that with podcasting, this is, by the way, another question that I get is like, you know, everybody's got a podcast lately. Should I really start, right? and, you know, is it worth the effort? And I feel like it comes back to, as you say, is like, why are you doing it and who are you doing it for, right? Because if you don't have the intent right from the word go, then obviously you're going to feel...
100%, clear purpose.
Yeah.
How do I know it's working? Am I moving closer to my destination? Am I moving closer to my goal? Is this episode moving me towards where I'm going? Why are we having this conversation? Well, because people are asking about podcasts. This is an easy way for you to say, I don't want to be rude.
Every time I'm going to give them the link where you ask me, I'm going to give you the link. Yeah, you can go watch. You can come and watch this podcast.
Yeah, so that's one of the that's one of the four kinds of podcasts you might make if you've got a business podcast.
Yeah.
FAQ. What question are people asking you all the time? Yeah, answer it in a podcast and then put it on your website and let them ask and answer it there.
Yeah, 100%. You know, if we look at, you know, the trends and what's happening out in the world, you know, what are you seeing and where podcasting is going? Like I know, for example, voice optimization for organizations is becoming so vital and so important. You know, how you do your SEO strategies, because the algorithms are now really doing the walled gardens and gatekeeping. So having that voice optimization is so important. What are some of these trends that you are seeing out in the world?
Phew, we're doing lots of experimentation. We have a broad range of clients who are trying different things. So it sounds weird to say, but it's still very early in this space.
Really?
It's still early. This has not yet settled into a line item in everybody's budget. So I'm sure you've encountered it with some of your clients. Let's make a podcast. Oh, we haven't got budget. Oh, wait, it's Women's Month. We'll take some of the Women's Month budget and use it for a podcast. Oh, it's 16 days of
activism.
Let's use some of that budget and make a podcast. So the podcast is a way that another budget is being spent, as opposed to here's our budget for print. What are we spending it on? Okay, we're going to send some on Women's Month, some on 16 days, and so forth. That inversion hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
So you're not going to a big corporate retailer and, okay, we've got a budget of X for podcasts. Which podcasts are we making? No, at this stage, it's the other way around. So it will reach a more mature phase when that happens, when it's part of the budget, and then we're being discerning about what content we're making with that budget, as opposed to it being one of the things we use another budget for. So we're still a while away from there. I think politically we're going to see, we're 18 months away from our next provincial elections in South Africa. I think we're going to see our first taste of independent podcasters having long-form conversations with political people who may be bubbling up to be leaders in future.
I've started seeing that already,
And there's a difference between them starting their own podcast and being guests on a credible independent. And I think we're going to see some interesting challenges. If people worked for mainstream media like SABC for the last 10 or 20 years, and they suddenly leave that now and say, I'm an independent and I'm going to have the... Yeah, I don't know if the stigma, if the fact that you were SABC is too strong, and you're going to look at that person and say, no, sorry, you've been too trained by SABC to actually be an independent. So I think we're going to see a lot of new voices pop up. And they're not all going to try and be this middle of the road or center, non-partisan. We're going to have people say, I'm an environmentalist. I care about environment, and I want to speak to John Steenhuisen for 3 hours about what he thinks about the environment.
Mm.
We can talk about left-wing, right? No, but I'm the person you speak to about green and environment. So I think we're going to get arts people who pop up and speak to.
Oh, I love that. You've given me some ideas.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's not like you're trying to get one journalist to find out how you think about sport and environment and education. No. Let each domain expert have a 2-3 hour conversation with these politicians and unpick and reveal who they really are. I think it's going to be awesome. So I think we're going to see that to a small extent in the next election. But the big national election 5 years from now, it's a given that that's how you're going to get to meet these people, not on the front page of a print newspaper.
What I also just wanted to ask you, where do you see the biggest failures happening, you know, when people start their podcast? Where do they go wrong? Because, you know, I see so many times people are so excited to start a podcast and then, like, they stop.
Without fail, they don't know why they're making it.
Yeah.
Or they're dishonest about why they're making it. So we'll get bright-eyed people come in and say, I want to talk about women's issues. And I just want women to know that it's okay. We're here for them and you're heard. Awesome. How do we know that happened? I got an email from somebody that said it happened. Cool. Make 3 or 4 episodes. I'm so disappointed. I thought I would have gone viral by now. I thought I was going to have thousands of... No, but hang on a second. Whoa, rewind. You told me. You just wanted some people to know that they were being heard. You've got 3 emails. Those people were heard. Oh, no, but I thought more. Oh, no. You were dishonest with yourself and with me about what you thought success was. Because if you want to reach 10,000 people, then that's not the way to do it. So you have to be honest. I no judgment from me. I don't mind what you want to do. But if you tell me you just want to connect with people and you show me you got those 3 emails, I believe you've connected with people.
No, because, I mean, that was the objective.
Yeah, the ratio of people who send emails versus listeners is very low. So if you've got 3 emails, that's significant. But if you're expecting the episodes to reach 10,000 people, then we should have made a different podcast. Mm. We should have made it 8 minutes long. We should have promoted it on TikTok, not on LinkedIn. And there's a whole range of things you're doing. So if you're not honest with yourself and the people helping you to do this thing, it's just not going to work.
Yeah. I mean, like, another thing I also... that I've learned in my journey is also to know when to do research. Some conversations I can have intuitively and I can just have them.
You've done 7 years of research.
Yeah,
already.
7 years. Yeah, I've done 7 years of research. But there's other times like where you have to sometimes push the boundaries a bit and do the research. But then obviously when I do those, I really need to do the research so well that I can still be that person. I feel that also that for me has been also a part that I really had to learn how to upskill myself on, because the research part is not easy. Well,
just think about how common the person has evolved from when you started all those years ago. Your interviewing skills have improved. Your listening skills have improved. Your networking skills have improved. All those things have happened as you've gone through this.
Mm.
Now, it's very easy to look back and say, oh, my God, my first season was so bad. It's so embarrassing. Yeah. It should be.
I do say that.
You should cringe a little when you look at your old stuff. But what do they say? Perfection is the enemy of – or good is the enemy of done.
Mm.
If you're waiting to be a good interviewer and a good listener before you start your podcast, you're not going to start your podcast. Start.
Mm.
Your early episodes have still got the cover art from what the podcast was back then. It's got naming and descriptions and links from back then. That's totally okay. That's the journey. That's the path you've walked.
Yeah.
This current vein you've tapped into is a deep, thick, rich vein. That's working for you. It's working for your audience. It's working for your guests. It's working for your business. For me, that's a successful podcast.
Mm.
We can look at the numbers, but for me, the numbers in your podcast are interesting as metrics of interest in different topics relative to each other.
Mm.
So we look at your last 10 episodes. Oh, this one had more listens than the others. Why? oh, that was a famous guest. Oh, that's a hot topic. Oh, it's informative. And then you decide, based on that, oh, do I need to explore that some more? There was appetite for that. Do I make another episode? It may be, oh, that was the first one that we promoted on a new medium of advertising, and it had more listens. Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah, it's so true. But I think also how I have tried to now start thinking about it is podcast is where I come to life. Like, it's really where I feel at home now. I built up my confidence. It took a minute, but I built up my confidence to a state where I feel, okay, right, I'm ready to I love what we're putting out there. You know, when you look and you go, like, it's just so rich, and the conversations and women making themselves so vulnerable. I mean, the team over here always says, oh my gosh, bring the tissues. Yeah. Where's the tissues?
We better keep tissues in the studio now.
Not for this one. Oh my gosh. But the amount of times where we said, where's the tissues? And we start like crying and all of that. But I think having an understanding that, okay, the podcast is the heartbeat. What else can I build around it?
So,
and build a universe around it.
This is something we try and get people to get their minds to shift. Now, if you had said, oh, I've got all these people asking me about podcasts, I'm going to write a 1,000-word article on it. You would sit down and you would think about it, and you would write answers, and you would put out a blog post. Top 5 things to know about starting, whatever the angle it takes is. But what happens is, instead of doing it that way, and then say, oh, I can do a podcast on it. Do it the other way. You had some questions in mind. You had some directions you want to go in. We sit and have this conversation. Between us, we'll generate 9,000 words an hour. I don't know how long we've been talking for, but by the time we finished here, we transcribe this podcast. You've got close to 10,000 words of conversation around this. You throw that into your ChatGPT and say, analyze this for 5 points. You can say, produce me a 500-word article, produce me a 1,000-word article, produce me 6 soundbite. You take this content that we're making and exploit it for other things, all from one sit down and have a conversation, which is very easy for you to do. So your ability to go from concept to multiple elements of communication and influence, very, very easy, very, very fast. But you've got to change people's mind around the order in which things happen. Podcast first, collateral afterwards.
Yeah. And you know what? Because most of the journey has been podcast audio, where it's easier because you can have your script in front of you, or you know, camera, you feel like there's a lot going on behind you.
And sometimes the move to video kills a podcast.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you stop talking to each other and having fun, and you now, which camera am I on? Is headroom? What am I wearing? The right? Oh, I haven't done my hair. It can kill a podcast. Yours, you're doing great work with your trailers and stuff to promote the content. You're linking to articles. You're booking people for talks. It's this whole ecosystem that's developing. But if somebody wants to just listen to this conversation, then go over to Spotify and listen to it while you're driving. That is, don't underestimate how valuable the ability to listen to a podcast while doing something else is. I can't watch your video while I'm driving.
Yeah.
Can't watch it while I'm at the gym. I can't watch it while cooking. So, yeah, there might be times I want to see your guest and see your emotion and your reaction. But the cost of that can be high.
Yeah.
You can lose your audience as a result.
And the audio part for me is always the best. It always sounds the best. One thing I started learning a lot throughout the journey is the importance of sound. I am not such a geek when it comes to sound, but my ears are completely tuned in when I hear bad sound, when I hear it's not working. And especially when there's annoying sounds, and especially during pandemic, it was really hard because you had to like get carpets, pillows, curtains, everything that was needed in order to make it work. And But if you get it right and you do it right, it does something so profound. And it's always on the go, and where people are at gym listening to it. I mean, that's a big one for the girls. It's like they love listening to podcasts at the gym. So yeah, it's important to know where your audience is going. Some people like videos. Some people like to listen to a podcast, but there's also multiple streaming sites. Like, some people hate going to Spotify, but other people love going to iTunes or whatever the case might be.
Yeah. I said it earlier, meet your customer where they are. Your customers are on LinkedIn.
Mm.
Yes, you can put a little fun TikTok video, but the reality is the people you want to do business with are on LinkedIn.
Mm.
So you're making this content to put there so that people know you exist, search for you, find you, search for your services and stuff.
And I'm trying to build something else, by the way.
Yeah, I'm not surprised at all. The interesting things happen with how people consume content. Some people listen to podcasts for nonfiction, and they listen to audiobooks for fiction.
Oh, I like that.
Some people read paperbacks for nonfiction and Kindle for fiction. So it's just kind of a way that they segment. If I'm holding a paper book, it's recreation, it's fun, it's not work. But for other people, it's, this is research. I need a paperback with highlighters and stuff.
Yes.
Because I'm going to highlight and stuff, which is harder to do than on a Kindle. So different people will consume stuff differently. It's not for you to say, I'm going to put it up on Spotify and nowhere else. So I'm going to put it up, and you kind of put it up in several places.
Great advice.
And let people consume it where it suits them.
Mm.
I don't listen to podcasts at normal speed. I listen at 1.4 to 2. So you don't have to worry about...
You listen to 4.2 speed?
1.4.
Oh, 1.4. I was just like, oh my gosh, I can't even handle 2.
Or how long should my podcast be? You know, it's not yours to worry about.
Yeah.
It's as long as it takes to have this conversation. Mm. If a person wants to listen to it faster, they will. If they want to listen to it in 2 sittings, it's not for you to prescribe. Here's your 2-minute soundbite.
Yeah.
Maybe if I'm trying to attract you every day for 2 minutes so you can hear my BMW advert, then that's part of the strategy, is to make it 2 minutes.
Mm.
But for you, the duration of the podcast is the duration of the conversation.
Okay, so before we close off, is there any questions that you get a lot that I didn't ask that you think should be covered? You get a lot.
Yeah, we do. Let me just think about what kind of question. We covered most of them. The big one is, should I do video or audio?
Mm.
Once you go down the video path, there's 2 kinds of video podcast. One is, we're just watching a podcast being made. So there's 3 or 4 people sitting in a room, and there's a camera up on the roof, and it's just watching the room. I don't know if you remember, some of the radio stations used to put a webcam in the studio.
Oh, yes.
So it's more like that. We're just watching this thing unfold and happen, and it's one camera. But once you say, no, I want 3 cameras, well, you can't do 2 cameras. Like this conversation, there's 2 of us, you can't do 2 cameras. It has to be 3.
Mm.
Wide shot, 1 on me, 1 on you.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, if we're 3 people, you might want to go to 4 cameras. But now we're making television.
Mm.
More crew, more equipment, more work. You can't invite a lady to be on your podcast without telling her, we're going to be on camera, there's 3 cameras, there's going to be close-ups, make sure you dress, hair, makeup.
Yeah.
It's not the same as, don't worry, the camera's up there and it's a low-res picture. You then move into a much bigger post-production process. You've got to match the headroom, you've got to match the color, you've got to match lighting. It's a big production. It doesn't cost the same as an audio podcast.
Mm.
It's orders of magnitude more expensive.
Mm.
So people like Joe Rogan have got a lot to answer for. People go, I'm just going to make a podcast like Joe Rogan. Yeah, how many people there are behind the scenes? You've got 2 researchers. You've got camera people. You've got lighting people. You've got mic people. You've got executive producer. Diary of a CEO. There are 50 people working on Diary of a CEO podcast.
50?
50. His team.
50?
50. 50 people.
What on earth are they doing?
Yeah, so you look at Diary of a CEO and say, I want to make a podcast like that.
Yeah.
Sure. Happy to help. Here's the budget.
Yeah.
It's not the same as sitting down and having an audio podcast.
50?
50 people.
My mind is just going like, okay, I need to go and watch his podcast again. It doesn't look like that.
You know when you A-B test your post to see which one is going to attract more attention?
Mm-hmm.
They generally A-B test with 100 different variations.
Sure.
So they'll change font size, they'll change word, they'll change picture, they'll change snippet, run about 100 to test which link on LinkedIn or Facebook or wherever they're promoting it gets the best traction, then take that one and make variations, and then take that one. That's the one they select. That's a lot of people. Wherever they go in the world, same set. You know, we came to Botswana recently, bring the set.
No, because I've always wondered, now I'm geeking out, but I mean, I've always wondered how that happens. Like, it's always the same set. Does he fly all his guests to his place?
He was in Botswana recently.
So he actually moves his whole set with him wherever he goes. It must be green screens.
No, doesn't do green screen.
But I'll have to go, I have to go and look into it. That is fascinating. But it's so true to the point is...
50 people.
That is a lot of people. That, I mean, like, I don't even think that some TV shows have that many people.
His stuff is good. It's well-researched.
But it's very good,
well-produced. It's excellent. What I'm saying is people come along and say, I want to make a podcast like Diary of a CEO. My budget's 1,000 rand an episode. It's not happening.
Yeah.
You can make something for 1,000 episode, but it's not that.
Yeah, that's a lot of work. Listen, when I get to that point in my life where I can have more people involved to do the research and to do the, you know, post-production
Don't
and all of
us,
that.
Woman. Don't forget
No,
that.
You are part of the journey. Wherever I go, you go. But I mean, like, isn't that going to be amazing, having producers that can do the research and do all of that? How fun would that be?
To make up people purpose.
I will show up.
So a common question is what mic should I get?
Yes, I get that a lot.
The room is more important than the mic. So being in a room with carpets and curtains and cushions and couches that's soft, you're going to get better sound than an expensive mic in your kitchen. Yes, you should have a plug-in USB mic. It should be a dynamic mic if you're starting out and at home. If you've got an Apple Mac, the built-in microphone in that Apple Mac is outstanding. You should be okay, but you've got to be in the right room, not in a tiled room with hard tables and glass everywhere. So if you're going to work from home, what you really don't want is you don't want to be recording from home and your guest is at home and they've got a good mic. Because then your guest sounds awesome because they've got a mic and you, the host, have got crappy sound. The audience gets confused. You did this on purpose and your sound is worse than your guest. Am I misunderstanding who the guest is? Am I misunderstanding who the host is? But if it's intentional, the sound should be good.
Yeah.
And if I accidentally bump into somebody and go, please, can I record? And it's a bad, we'll live with a bad sound because it was scarce content. But if I'm saying, come around next Tuesday and we're going to record, then the sound should be good.
But also what is also interesting for me with people's computers, like something, I mean, like it's random things that would have happened, right? You'll do a recording and halfway through a recording, virtual recording, something goes, oh, my computer's running out of memory. Oh my gosh, you're in the middle of a conversation and it's downloads and uploads. I think that's happened like 4 or 5 times with me. So do brief your guests to make sure that they've got enough memory if you are going to do some virtuals. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. Oh, and also the lighting, right? I like to put a ring light in front of me when I'm doing my virtual. But also the trick that you've taught me that's very cool is like to put your computer on top of box and your mic. Yeah. And it makes such a great difference when you're also in alignment with your guest.
Go get the dictionaries, put them under your laptop, get it to eye level.
There you go. Simple hacks. Like there's crazy hacks. If you just could see how this is all put together. Little hacks that just makes things happen. But listen, I just want to say thank you so much. Thank you for being part of my journey.
Thank you.
Really enjoying this. This is like, I feel like I'm going to become the Oprah of Africa, like with my one production team. Like I'm talking about me preparing for it and then you guys doing all the amazing work in the back end. Well, I couldn't have done it without you.
Just keep at it. The secret to overnight success is the 200, 300 podcasts you've made already.
Yeah, you know. 100%. So what, 10,000 hours?
Yeah, I mean, that's intentional hours, not just accidental hours. And yours are intentional. You don't walk in and go, what are we doing today? No, you know who you're talking to. You know what you're talking about. You do your homework. I think this channel is over 150 podcasts already.
Yeah. And you know what I love about the channel is like we've also been able to take our webinars, take the audio, dump it, and we've been able to put bonuses in.
Yeah. That's a big –
That's what I love about the podcast.
That highlights the auditorium metaphor from earlier. You do a webinar and you've got 200-300 people to join your webinar. 500 people said they were going to join it, start the Zoom, 300 people pitch, 200 leave. and it's finished and you stop and go, well, I hope that worked. Well, you've got the content, repurpose it, clean it up, put it on your podcast channel. It keeps working for you. Another couple of hundred people can find that same content.
100.
It's really important.
Yeah. As we go into the festive season.
December.
What podcast are you going to listen to? What podcast should we listen to that you highly recommend? But not a diary of a CEO. 50 people, right? For inspiration.
I use this time when we've got a road trip to listen to the really nice long-form interviews with people I'm curious about. So I'll listen to Tim Ferriss interviewing somebody interesting. I'll listen to Lex Fridman is going to be talking to Zelensky in the next couple of days.
Oh, wow.
And if that comes out in time, I mean, that's fascinating. To be able to hear the guy who's leading the Ukraine's efforts against Russia, to hear him have a three-hour conversation, what have we ever heard from him?
Mm.
We've heard little news sound bites and press interviews. No, this is going to be a deep three-hour conversation with this person. His story, can't wait to hear that.
Mm.
That kind of stuff. Really long form.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you so much. Now you've got all your answers. Now go and make that podcast. Bye-bye now.